630 Chad presents The Elks This Week. A close-up look at the Elks and the Canadian Football League. Every week, we take you inside the game. From the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 Chad. Here's Morley Scott.
Hello, football fans, and welcome to the show for this week. Oh, man, we are so close. The long offseason slowly coming to an end. 4 weeks today, training camps will be underway as players report for medicals and physicals across the Canadian Football League. In fact, 4 weeks from today, the Elks This Week will be live on location from Commonwealth Stadium as the Elks check in for the 2024 season. Camp actually starts kind of before that. Rookies will be on the field on May the 8th to begin their portion of training camp. Last week on the show, we talked defense, and I pulled out that old line, offense sells tickets and defense wins championships. Well, this week, we're selling tickets. Elks running back Kevin Brown will be our guest a little bit later on. You won't believe how many pairs of shoes he has. Also, Geno Lewis will check in as well. Right now, though, we're going to spend some time with my friend and yours, Dave Campbell. Hey, Dave.
Good morning.
We're getting close, man.
Oh, I can't wait. I mean, 4 weeks from now, we're on the field at Commonwealth, getting ready for another season, another training camp. That'll be fun.
And, of course, our first broadcast, May 25th for the Elks and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in the preseason. All right, Dave, Elks are kind of busy this week making some signings. I brought you in to talk a little bit about them. People have been waiting for them to make some moves on the offensive line, I think, all off season. They didn't do it throughout the first part of free agency, but this week they signed a couple of offensive linemen that you kind of go, okay, this might be a solution. First thing is Shane Richards, first overall draft pick in 2019 by the Toronto Argonauts. He played 42 games in Toronto. He won a Grey Cup in Toronto. He's got size, he's got pedigree, and an opportunity to try and get a job here now.
Yeah, and he's only, I think the biggest issue with him is it's been health. He's been hurt three separate times. Last year was a foot injury that kept him out of all but, allowed him only to play four games. Big, should probably be a tackle, but not as fast as you would like or quick as you would like at that position. So more like a guard, kind of reminds me a little bit of what people spoke about Matt O'Donnell when he broke into the CFL. But it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And then Hunter Stewart as well, we got to mention. He went in the first round in 2013 to the BC Lions, spent a number of years there. And interesting because it seems like it's more of a depth signing. He only started five games out of 17, and he was available to start quite a bit. Or at any time for the Ottawa Redblacks, and their line struggled. But it's depth, it's competition, and I'm interested to see how they perform in camp under the with the colors of green and gold.
He's played a lot of games so far, 99 starts for him, so his next one is a big one. But he's a guy, he's a depth guy, as you mentioned, a guy who's been around the league a long time, and the Elks haven't kind of gone that way with their sixth and seventh guys. In the last several years, it's always been that rookie or second-year guy who's been the sixth guy to come in.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Philip Grahovic's going to make a case for at least the sixth O-lineman spot as well. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing how this all plays out.
The O-line, there'll be some battles there for position, obviously, now, especially with the addition of these two veterans. We're going to flip to the defensive side a little bit here now on the show this week because of a signing this week. The Elks signed Azure Kamara, a guy at a University of Kansas, just 25 years of age, and he's got 2 years' experience in the NFL. Only played nine games with the Dallas Cowboys, but he's got that experience, which obviously tells you he's a pretty good football player. The D-line is probably the biggest question mark on the Elks roster going into training camp.
I think earlier this week you put out a post saying 17 D-linemen. So to me, they are definitely revamping that D-line, and they're going to give some consideration to Anoa Curtis and to more responsibility for Jamin Pelly. I like Emeka Ogwale coming back. To me, I think they're looking for run stoppers. Especially, and they're looking for people that can rush the quarterback. So they've brought in a lot of guys with some pedigree, and Azure, I think, fits that bill as well. So if you want, what's the number one area you're looking at camp this year, position-wise, it's D-line for sure.
Yeah, if you want to find out more about Azure Kamara, head to the website somewhere. I'm sure it's streaming somewhere, Hard Knocks from 2021. He was one of the featured players in the 2021 edition of Hard Knocks when he was with the Dallas Cowboys at HBO documentary, of course. We're going to switch back to offense for the rest of the show now. And that's one thing. Well, there's a lot of question marks, especially on the D-line, maybe in at linebacker and even in the defensive backfield on defense. The offense is pretty much set. I mean, they signed Herji Mayala,
yes,
which is another Canadian receiver. But I think you got a better chance of slotting out who's going to start on offense than you do on defense.
Oh, no question. I don't think offensively you look at this team and you go, okay, where are people going to line up? I think we pretty much know. Herji Mayala, to me, tells me Curley Gittens may not be ready to go by the start of camp or the regular season. Of course, he's coming off that major hip surgery that happened around in a game in September where he basically dislocated his hip. It was a pretty brutal injury. And I remember he was on with Reed Wilkins on Inside Sports when he was traded here for Jake Cerez, and he said, well, I'm hoping to be back. So it wasn't really known. So it's not like Chris Jones didn't realize what he was getting in Curley Gittens, but I think, you know, they're willing to wait for him when he is healthy. And Herji Mayala, we'll see. I mean, right now, I would say Gavin Cobb would be the lead to take the spot right now.
Canadian spot.
Exactly, yeah. The Canadian spot. But Mayala, you know, his best season was his rookie season in 19, over 500 yards. He's kind of bounced around since. But, you know, he's just someone that can maybe come in and provide a little depth and a little competition.
We know one thing for sure. If they stay healthy, a ton of yards will be coming from Eugene Lewis and Kevin Brown. We'll hear from them next. Thanks, Dave. Dave's got the show the next couple of weeks as well, by the way. But we'll hear from Lewis and Brown next on the Elks This Week on 630 CHED.
Now, more football talk on the Elks This Week. Here's Morley Scott on the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 CHED.
There is no question that the Elks offense is going to have a different look to it this year. Of course, that's because of the change at quarterback with veteran McLeod Bethel Thompson taking over. One guy who's really looking forward to that is receiver Geno Lewis, who has known Bethel Thompson for a while and now is excited to get a chance to play with him.
I've talked to MBT a couple times even before he signed when he was with Toronto. And, you know, he always said, like, yo, man, I wish I would have a chance to play with you at some point in time. And, you know, the opportunity is here now. I think he's a great leader. I think he's going to be great for the rest of the quarterbacks in the room. And I think me and him can really get on a really, really great page with all the other receivers. And we can do a lot of damage this year. I just think stay focused, know our roles, play our part, and play to the best of our abilities. And I think the sky's the limit.
Lewis played just 12 games last year in his first year with the Elks. He was very good when he played, 844 yards. That's good for 1,200 yards if you stretch it out over a completely healthy season. The team, of course, only won 4 games. And Lewis wants to make year 2 in Edmonton better for everyone.
I'm excited, man. I can't wait for this year. I'm really excited about some of the things we did in the offseason, some of the players that we got. I'm really excited, you know, with the coaching staff, and I'm just excited to, you know, help this team and lead this team, you know, to the promised land. And I just got a different motivation. This year I had to miss 6 games, and I felt like I wasn't able to reach my full potential at what I do and what I can show. So, you know, this year I'm excited. I've been working down in Florida, you know, before I came to Africa. So I'm just on I got a different mindset, you know, just getting older. And just developing more wisdom, I'm excited to put it all on the field this year.
So far, Lewis likes the changes that have been made and is excited, like everybody else, to get it rolling.
I let the coaches and the GMs, I let them do what they do. And, you know, because they have our best interest in the sense of, you know, winning a Grey Cup, because that's what the main goal is. So whatever our coaches and everybody feels like we need out there and that we have out there, we're going to make it work. And I think, like I said before, as long as everybody does their job, it's gonna be a scary sight.
Now, if MBT isn't throwing passes to Geno Lewis, he'll be turning around and handing off the ball to Kevin Brown.
3 receivers to the right side. Ford's going to pull the ball down. Give it to Kevin Brown. Look at that hole. He's up across the 40, the 30, the 20, the 15, the 10. And they're up, Edmonton. Touchdown, Elks. How's that for a start to a football game? Kevin Brown, play number 1, 6-0 Edmonton.
Okay, before coming up in a moment. But first, just a reminder, the Masters is on this weekend, as you know, and you're probably getting itchy to play a bit. How about the Elks Cheer Team Golf Tournament? That comes up on June 28th at the Ranch. You can get details at GoElks.com. You can also go to the Elks website or Ticketmaster for information on Elks ticket sales, which are ongoing now as well. First up, of course, two games with Saskatchewan, the home preseason game on May 25th, and then the home opener on June 8th, which is the start of the celebration of 75 years in the CFL. It will be year three in the CFL for Kevin Brown in Edmonton. The running back has been home in South Carolina all offseason, working out, getting ready, and mostly just taking it easy.
Yeah. I like the quiet, slow pace kind of life. I'm typically, you know, just chilling most of the time.
Tell me about going back home after spending whatever it was, 7 months in Canada playing in the CFL. What's it like when you get back home? What's the reception like with family and friends?
It's really great. Me and my sister, we typically do a lot of stuff together, like, you know, try different new restaurants or events, same with my cousins. Back home, it felt good coming back home because I finally get to, you know, dig deeper into some seafood that I love, like some crab legs, blue crab, oysters, you know, stuff like that. But typically, it's mostly just relaxation.
What was the off season like for you working out and your attitude and your approach? I mean, you had 2022. You came up halfway through the season, had some success for the last half of the season. You came back for your first training camp in 2023, had a lot of success in 2023, 1,000-yard rusher. So you know about the league knows about you, you know what expectations are, you know maybe what kind of shape you have to be in. Did you change anything this off season in the way you work out and prepare for the season?
This off season is more fine tuning my skills than working on things that I needed to work on based off last season. So it's not as intense of a workout when I first got into the league. It's more just tuning things up, changing the things that I need to work on and fix. And that's basically what it is.
How'd the body feel at the end of last year? You played all 18 games, and that's the most games you ever played in a season, I'm assuming. How did you feel at the end of it? And again, same kind of thing. Do you change how you work out because of that going into this season?
My body did feel tired. It definitely did. I definitely took a great amount of time resting my body and not doing anything so it could recover properly. For me, changing any workout because of that, I don't think so, because as a football player, you're gonna take hits, you're gonna take some damage. I don't really think there's anything that you could work on to help your body heal any better. It's just some of the workouts you could do, it will help prevent injuries. But any workouts that's going to make my body feel any better, I don't think I'll do anything for that.
New look to the offense. McLeod Bethel-Thompson was signed during this offseason. Before we talk about him, let's talk about you and watching the changes. How closely do you watch the changes that the team makes during the offseason?
I watch it very closely. Every time I get a notification or I see something scrolling through Instagram or Twitter, I look at who we've signed or maybe possibly released, and I'll go look them up on social media and see, you know, what kind of talent they have to offer. So I've noticed almost all the guys that we've signed this past offseason.
Defense is changing a lot. Offense, receiving core looks like for the most part will be back. You're going to be back. The changes, as I mentioned earlier, at quarterback with McLeod Bethel-Thompson. Your thoughts on that move and him as a quarterback fitting into the Elks' current system?
I think it would be a great addition to our offense. I've seen one of his interviews that I believe he likes to spread the ball. He said, I think talking to you, that he would like to try to get me the ball in different areas, you know, on the field, either that's running, passing, or down the field. So I feel like with him, like I just said, he's going to spread the ball. He's going to give everybody opportunity to make plays when it comes. I haven't seen too much of his highlights, but I know he played in the, I believe the XFL or the USFL.
USFL last year, yeah, led the league in passing. Year before that, he led the CFL in passing. So he's a proven guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then I've talked to Swerve, and Swerve said, yeah, he's a baller. You know, he knows how to throw the ball. He has all the skills and assets of a great quarterback. So I feel like adding him to the roster is a great move.
Do you get concerned when you add a throwing quarterback to the roster? I mean, last year the offense really turned when they made the move at quarterback and Trey came in to start. You really became a run-first team at that point. Might not be the case this year. You're obviously going to get your opportunities to run the ball, but might not be as much as you did it, especially in the last half of last season.
For me, it doesn't matter. As long as we win the game and as long as football is a team sport. I mean, there's no room for selfishness in football. So, I mean, the most important goal is to win games and to get the Grey Cup championship. So, I mean, if my role is to be a decoy and block, that's my role this season. If my role is to get the ball in a route pass, then that's my goal. I'm not one of those selfish players like I really wanted to get the ball 18 times, 20 times a game. No, I'm not that type of person.
And you'll be happy to take all the handoffs in the fourth quarter while you're killing the clock, protecting a lead, right?
Definitely.
have you talked with McLeod yet? Has he reached out to you? Have you reached out to him?
We haven't spoken yet. But I feel like we will be soon, since we're about to, you know, head back.
Yeah, we're not that far away now, right? We're closing in, like 5 weeks from now, you're at training camp. So you must be getting pretty excited.
I am, actually. I am.
How early are you coming to town?
I'll be flying in May 5th.
Okay. And then, so you got a week or so in town before training camp begins. After what's happened here the last couple of years, I guess the last 3 years, even the year before you came with the team struggling, how important is a good start to the season? And I'll go back to last year, and, you know, you guys lost some games on some weird situations early in the season, and it just kind of snowballed the wrong way after that. How important is a good start? It's always an important thing for every team every year, but for this team this year, is it more important to get out of the gates quickly?
I believe so, yes. I mean, we had the previous seasons, we had guys to make it all the way to the Grey Cup. I think it was just we weren't clicking as a collective unit at the time. But then towards the end of the season, I think we started figuring out that we can actually do this. But starting fast is definitely needed. And I think once we start fast and know what the type of guys that we got, I feel like we can make that run all the way to the Grey Cup.
Last couple of years, people predicted the Elks to be better. This year, kind of the same situation's going on. I guess you guys are in a position where you have to start living up to some things. Very important year for this team, is it not?
Every year is important. Every year is important for the team, for any team. But I feel like, yeah, mainly for us, I feel like it is. And I feel like this season is the season for us. I don't know why, but I just feel it. And, yeah, I think people will see a different different team this season.
All right. Our listeners can't see this, but I can because we're doing a video while we do this. Meaning, how many pairs of shoes do you own, man? I'm looking up over your shoulder and I see, that's at least 12 boxes of shoes up there. How many pairs of shoes do you own?
I got more laying around on the floor, but let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I got a little handful.
Kevin, you only have 2 feet, buddy.
I mean, yeah, you got shoes for different occasions. You know, I got some cowboy boots. I got some work boots. You know, I got some Vans that's just for everyday wearing. You know, I got some nice sneakers for when I want to step out and look clean.
I guess you gotta have your practice Nikes, your game Nikes, and your dress up Nikes, and your kicking around Nikes, right? So you got it all covered.
Yes,
All right. Kevin, I appreciate your time, man. Thanks very much. I look forward to seeing you when you get here, and wish you all the best the rest of the offseason, because it's not going to last very long.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
That's Elks running back Kevin Brown. Our thanks to him, to Dave Campbell, and Geno Lewis. The next 2 weeks I'll be away, so Dave will have the show for you next week and the week after. I'll talk more football with you in 3 weeks' time on the Elks This Week on 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.